when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. 16 of Ruth chapter 1, if you have it, say amen. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, telling Naomi, I'm not going to leave you. And Ruth said, don't tell me to leave you or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Hallelujah. She said, I'm going to go with you, and your people, your family, your kinfolk, are going to be my people. And most of all, she declared, your God, the God that you serve, is going to be my God. What a statement by a young Moabitess young lady. Come out of heathenism. You want to talk about God's great plan in the life of an individual. The book of Ruth will open up your eyes to see that God can take a little old paganistic, heathenistic, label it any way you want. I mean, the Moabites were some wicked, evil people. And God handpicked a young lady named Ruth to bring her up out of that heathenistic worship because God had a plan for her life. You know the story? This family came from Bethlehem, Judah. Naomi's husband made the decision that we're going to get out of this old famine and my whole family is going to leave Bethlehem, Judah, and we're going to go down and escape the famine down in Moab. While they were there, their two sons, you know the story, married some young Moabitess young ladies. They were there, I believe, around 10 years. What happened in a nutshell? Elimelech died, her husband, Naomi's husband died. During that time, her sons, both of them, married to Ruth and Orpah. Both those young ladies, those Moabites, became widows. And they lost their husbands. And now here we got three women in our story. And what transpires is that she hears. The Bible says that she heard, Naomi heard, that the famine was over in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. That the hard season was over with, hallelujah. That it wasn't going to be a lean time anymore where my family wasn't going to be fed. And I can tell you this, the Bible declares that, yeah, for 10 years they went down there and they might have thought they escaped the famine. But they got out into an area where it even got worse for them. You know, you can have everything physically and financially, but if you get outside of the parameters of God's protection. Now, did God use it all to work together for the good? Absolutely. But look at the price that was paid. losing her husband, losing her two sons, and now she's got grieving young widows. And she hears how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. The famine is over. Hallelujah. I preached that before, that the famine is over. God's bringing you into a new season. Amen. I want to encourage somebody today. Amen. Famines are only for a season. God doesn't let us suffer with heartache and pain and grief and struggle and financial hardship. God doesn't leave his people, amen, in a famine. But he uses the famine to get the attention of his people. Famines in the Old Testament were always a sign of God's judgment. When God would withhold the rain from the land and the crops could not ever yield a harvest, how many of us know without water everything dies? If God sends in the locust, amen. Well, it's one thing for it to be dry ground. It's another thing for your crop to be doing pretty good and you got rain. But then God decides to send what? The old locust and some grasshoppers and some of his armies, the different worms. And I believe the Bible talks about it. Was it in Malachi where he talks about the palmer worm and the canker worm? And he says, I send these little armies to devour everything that you think is going to be harvest to you. Amen. I'm going to allow them to eat it all. And I don't know about you, but I don't like seeing things that you work hard for lost. But we must understand the Lord giveth and the Lord can take away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. God always knows what's best for his people. You know, he knows what's best for you better than you think you know what's best for you. And as we study the scriptures, we see in this story that Naomi has lost everything. She's left with two grieving young widows and herself a lonely widow. And she hears how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Hallelujah. Amen. The famine was over and now God has put within the heart of Naomi to go back to her homeland, the land of Bethlehem, Judah. This is the place, the Bible describes it as the house of bread, the place where God, amen, gives bread, where he feeds his people. I don't know about you, but I love it when there's plenty to eat. Glory be to God. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. How many are thankful when they've got food on their table, a roof over their head? Everything is going well. Everything is going good. You know, God is a good God. And the Bible says that David said, amen, I'm an old man now, but I want to let you know I was young at one time, but I can tell you this, our God never forsakes his own. He never leaves the righteous begging for bread or their seed. Begging. How many of us know the Lord takes care of his people? And no matter how bad you may think it is right now, there's somebody that's got it a lot worse than you do right now. I said there's folks laying in their beds this morning that would want to be here amongst the few of us that did come. And amen, some of us that are here today, we had to struggle to get here, if the truth be told. The spirit is willing to go to church, but this flesh will fight you sometimes. And I'm talking about Naomi, as we hear in our text. She left Bethlehem, Judah for a season. She followed her husband into that land of Moab, and she escaped the famine. She had everything in the natural, but oh, she lost everything she had in the spiritual. And that's what Moab was. It's a type of the world. It's a type of getting out of the plan and purpose and will of God. Though God used it for the good and he had a plan with Ruth, God never wants to see his people try to escape the hard seasons of life. I've learned to appreciate the hard seasons. I preached last week on open and closed doors. I've learned to thank God, yes, for the open door that he opens when we pray and when we ask, when he gives us a financial blessing, when he opens up a new job for a door, when he makes a way where there seems to be no way. And you know it's God that has opened and made the way for you. But how many of us know we need to learn as believers not to just thank him for the open doors, but I thank God for sometimes he closes doors that he knows that was on the other side of that door was not going to be good for my life. It wasn't going to be good for me. And I'm going to tell you, we not only need to thank God for the open doors and making a way and answering our prayers, but amen. How many can give glory to God this morning? Lift your hands and say, thank you for the doors that you shut, because I want to stay in your purpose, plan, and will for my life. Thank God for the closed doors. Don't think God's looking to reject you. He's not rejecting you. But there are some times where your heavenly Father knows what's definitely best for you. And the good thing about the Lord is he already sees what your future is going to be all about. Can you say amen? He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's first, he's the last, he sees it all. He sees the what? The end from the beginning. He's already there, and he sees it all. Can you say amen? Ruth said, I went out of Bethlehem, Judah, full. But now she's headed back, empty. You read the text, I said some of you would probably be lost if you haven't read this story in a while. But she was full. She was full. Amen. There are seasons in your life where you will feel full. You will feel the blessings of God are upon your life. You will feel like God is opening doors, making ways, making things go the way you want it, if you let me say it that way. How many of us know sometimes we get a little angry when life just doesn't go the way we thought it was going to go? There are times in our life where we thought, man, I thought things would already have changed. I thought things would have already gotten better. I thought God maybe would have already opened the door for me. But can I tell you, brothers and sisters, amen, you can be in different times and seasons where you have everything, where everything is plentiful, everything is going good. You can even be in the dry seasons, which many of us have gone through, where there is a lack, there is not much money. There is not many things going the way you want them to go. Life is a press. Life is a struggle. But can I tell you, brothers and sisters, I've learned, amen, and we've all got to learn, like Paul the Apostle said, I've learned to be content no matter where I find myself in life, whether I've got an abundance or whether I've been stripped down and I don't have anything. I have to learn that God's looking for me to be content with things that I have and learn to be thankful. Somebody say, don't be unthankful. We got too many people in our day and age that aren't thankful for what God has blessed them with. Amen. I don't care if some digging their heels on me. I'm going to tell you, we live in an unthankful generation. And God's not pleased with people that aren't thankful. Somebody say, look around and count your blessings. One by one. That's what the songwriter said. And then you'll begin, once you number it all up, those blessings far outweigh the bad things. I said, you better go ahead and start jotting it down on your notepad and say, I've got this, I've got that, I've got health in my body, though I go through some aches and pains, I'm doing pretty good, actually, for my age. Go ahead and say amen. Somebody say, count your blessings. Amen. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we've got to learn that if we've got food, if we've got water, if we've got a roof over our head, you might not have much money in your bank account. You might not be full, but I'm going to tell you, you need to learn to be content with the blessings of God that make you rich, and they add no sorrow. So she left totally full, but she lost everything in that land of Moab. She's on her way back with these two young Moabitess young ladies. Verse 17, where thou diest, will I die. and there will I be buried. I'm going to follow you. The Lord do so to me and more also if I put death part thee and me. I'm not leaving you. I love this verse. I've preached it many times and I love preaching it. When Naomi saw Ruth's mind, she was steadfastly minded. Look at somebody and say, she had her mind made up to go with her. To go with her. You know, it's hard to find people that'll go with you. Oh, they'll go with you when things are good. When there's plenty of money. See, marriage is easy when everything's going good. Come on now, somebody. I see this generation that we live in and even some previous generations, amen, they're excited about the marriage. Amen, getting married and the wedding and all that. But you know, you got to work at this thing. She begins to tell this young lady, I don't have no more sons to give you a husband. How many remember this story? Say, I remember, Pastor, I remember. She's trying all she can to convince this young lady to go back to the land of Moab and her heathen gods. But there was something she must have seen in Naomi. I think oftentimes we overlook sometimes the real value of what God's trying to show us in this woman, Naomi. Though she lost her husband, lost her sons, and had to follow a man into a land called Moab, God had a plan for Naomi and picked up Ruth along the way. Can you say amen? She had her mind made up after seeing Naomi. No doubt she's seen her cry and grieve over her husband. Seen, amen, her cry and grieve not just over one son, but two sons. Amen. Ruth was watching very, very closely how Naomi handled the heartache, the pain, the struggle. And can I tell you, I'd like to think that maybe, I know it's not in the Bible. I know I don't have any proof of this, but I'd like to think that maybe Ruth overheard Naomi maybe some different nights when she was weeping in her pillow, crying and grieving over all that she had lost. I heard her, maybe I hear her whispering to her God, have you forsaken me? Have you forgotten about me? Where are you in the midst of my trouble? Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, amen, it's only in the times and the seasons of trouble that God manifests himself in the greatest manner in our lives. Amen. When things are going good and we're on the mountaintops of life, you've got to realize it's not on the mountaintops where God reveals the strength of his power and his tender grace and mercy. Can I tell you, it's in the times of trouble, it's in the times of heartache, it's in the times of pain where God said, I will be a very present help in the times of your trouble, in the times of your loneliness, David, when you're in a miry pit, a miry clay, and you'll cry out to me and you'll wait a long season before I'll come and rescue you out of that miry pit and clay. And that's what David said when he testified to us in that 40th Psalm. He said, I cried and I waited patiently on the Lord. Can I tell you, it's in the times of trouble that you'll really learn to get a prayer life. Amen. I was telling the church last week, nothing like a good old-fashioned trial, heartache and pain and struggle that will make you a praying woman, make you a praying man. And I'm telling you, this is all designed to bring you to your knees and to bring you to God so that you realize that my help cometh only from the Lord. There is no way that this old woman could get back in probably her feeble mind and physical condition. It was a long trek to head back from Moab to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. Rocky terrain, thieves, robbers, men that could take these three young ladies and do what? They could do God-awful things to them. I don't need to go any further. Amen. But can I tell you, brothers and sisters, God had a plan not only for Naomi, but God had a plan for Ruth. Amen. Now we know Orpah would drop off and go back and was convinced of Naomi to leave. Orpah would go back. And that's okay, because sometimes you just got to let some people go. You love them, but you got to let them go. Somebody say, I got to let some people go. And that's what we've got to realize. There might be some people in your life that aren't really totally with you. There's some friends, there's some family members, there's some loved ones. There are some people throughout our life that we've got to learn to just let them go and go their own way. Understand something. I don't know about you. I want people that are wholeheartedly with me. Amen. I've learned in the ministry as a pastor to let some people leave the church. I have learned, amen, that ministry is not about numbers. It sometimes is just about one individual. And God gave Naomi one young lady. Orpah left, but Naomi made up her mind. I'm going to continue with you. I shall continue. Hallelujah. That's the title, A Simple Thought. Amen. I love visiting this. But I'm going to tell you, too many of God's people are quitting before the blessings come in their life. Can I tell you, you could be literally just a few weeks away from God busting open a door of something that you've been praying for, something that you've been looking for, something that you've been believing for. Can I tell you, we live in a generation that gives up too quick. And I talked about Christ giving us this understanding. And he likened that man that came to the door at midnight with his family all asleep. And his neighbor said, I need some bread. I need some things to feed this sojourner that's coming through to stay at my home. And he taught us a lesson about knocking. Knocking is a place of prayer. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be what? Opened up unto you. Listen to me real quick. Right here, brothers and sisters. We cannot be a quitting people. We've got to be a people of perseverance. We've got to be a people of pressing through the hard seasons. We've got to be a people that don't give up at the first sign of resistance or hindrance or something not going our way. I'm going to tell you, Ruth was very, very keen to understand that it was going to get rough heading back. She knew the dangers from Moab to the land of Bethlehem, Judah was going to be dangerous for two women all by themselves. But oh, hallelujah, God had a plan for Ruth. And I'm not able to go there right now, but I want to tell you this. God's got a plan for every one of us. But you've got to walk some rocky roads to get to the place that you desire to be in the purpose, plan, and will of God for your life. Are you listening to me right now? Some of you been through some hard seasons. Some of you had your life stripped away from you. Some of you been through some divorces. Some of you been through some bad marriages. Some of you've had some problems with your children. Some of you've had some I don't need no help right here. I feel the Holy Ghost helping somebody to understand that God had a purpose for every single trial that you've been through, every single tear that you have shed, every sleepless night that you've gone through, every depressive season that you've gone through. There is a God that has had his eyes upon you just like he has his eyes upon the sparrow, and he's keenly aware of where he has you right now in your life. And God has not forsaken you. You've just got to trust that the process in which he's bringing you through is going to bring you to your desired place to be. How many of us know God's got a plan for our lives? Somebody say, God's got a plan. And you've got to trust the plan of God. And you've got to get in tune with the will of God. One of the things you first got to do is continue no matter how hard it gets. I said you've got to not stop going forward. Somebody say there's nothing back there. There's nothing back there. I talked about this last week where Paul said, I can't be holding on to the past trying to reach for my future and be betwixt between the past and the future. Somebody say, just let it go, let it go, let it go. Are you with me right now? Let some things go. Let some heartache and pain go. I know they hurt you. I know they ripped your heart out. I know they lied to you. I know they betrayed you. I know they have gossiped about you. I know they've done all, but you've just got to let them go, because I told you a few weeks ago, amen, some people, amen, cannot go where God is bringing you. Here we're trying to drag folks into where God's bringing us, and God's saying, you need to learn to. Can I tell you, you can never really possess the promises of God until you learn to let the past forsake those things which are behind you. Let it go. Let him go. Let her go. Let those feelings and emotions, let them go. Some of us have been carrying things that people have done to us, said to us. People have done things to us, and our memory sometimes is our own worst enemy. I don't need you to say amen. I know I'm right here where I need to be. The greatest battles that some of us are fighting are not with people in a natural realm. Greatest battle that the believer will fight will always be battles in the mind. This is your battlefield, and I want you to be focused at how Ruth had her mind made up. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you right now, amen, we live in a time where we have so many double-minded Christians, so many that don't know what they believe, they don't know what the scripture says, they don't know the will of God for their life, they're just doting around here and there, amen, calling this one, amen, texting this one, pray about this, pray about that, amen. No, you need to get alone with God for yourself. You need to get shut up in a prayer closet somewhere. Get alone with God. Call upon the name of the Lord and do what the prophet said. Call upon me and I will show thee great and mighty things that you don't know. You need God to show you the way. People don't always have the answers. Talk to Job and he'll let you know that. Some of the people you think are your best friends and love you the most give you a lot of good information, but you need some revelation from the Spirit of God to let you know that the trials that have come haven't come to destroy you. They haven't come to kill you. They haven't come to make you like powder. Amen. What they've come to do is to humble you and make you dependent and look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.